Glory to you, God, whose power working in us is always doing more than we could ask for or even imagine. Amen. I use a variety of resources to prepare a sermon, and the following is from a Peanuts comic strip taken from 1001 Hilarious Illustrations for Public Speaking. Lucy says to Charlie Brown, "You know what I don't understand? I don't understand love." Charlie says, "Who does?" Lucy says, "Explain love to me, Charlie Brown." He says, "You cannot explain love. I can recommend a book or a poem or a painting, but I cannot explain love." Lucy says, "Well, try. Charlie Brown, try." Charlie says, "Well, let's say I see this beautiful, cute little girl walk by." Lucy interrupts. "Why does she have to be cute, huh? Why can't someone fall in love with someone with freckles and a big nose? Explain that." Charlie says, "Well, maybe you are right. Let's just say I see this girl with this great big nose." Lucy interrupts, "I didn't say great big nose." Charlie shrugs. "You not only cannot explain love, you can't even talk about it." "But I think we can." Lucy and Charlie Brown are not real people, like the variety of people in our readings today. But even though Lucy and Charlie Brown are comic characters, they too are instruments of God as they try to understand love, the fuel of every human relationship. So gathered in this church are real people. And Jeremiah, Paul, the people of Corinth, Jesus with his neighbors in Nazareth, and hidden everywhere in plain sight is God. God deeper than our human feelings. Like our religious ancestors, our feelings seem to dominate life when we, like they, face life-threatening issues, political and social controversies, and experience a full spectrum of personalities, some abrasive. Our Paul had his moments. He was intense and focused, yet eloquent when he wrote about love and preached of Jesus. And today, like every Sunday, we have the invitation of meeting the real Jesus again and again, and maybe for the first time. Jesus wants to make a difference in your life. But understanding his life and message takes listening with the ears of your heart, paying attention, and being receptive. In today's gospel, Jesus had just read a short snippet from Isaiah. He identified himself with it, and in so doing, amazed and bewildered his listeners. Wasn't he just Joseph's son? Jesus responded with references to the inclusive love of God, not what they expected to hear. And a tense conversation ensued. A cliffhanger moment ended the gospel reading, which leads me to pause at the cliff. Let's look at how the geography and culture of the first century influenced the writings of Paul and his preaching about Jesus. Living in San Pedro gives me some appreciation for why Paul wrote this kind of letter to his little flock in the city of Corinth. San Pedro and Corinth both have histories as vibrant seaports. In its heyday, San Pedro was alive with the smells of the tuna packing industry and the noisy traffic of fishing vessels. Sailors and fishermen wandered the small town supporting bars and brothels. But in the midst of the wildness of San Pedro, a little Episcopal church was planted. Little St. Peter's was recently refurbished and sits now in Green Hills Cemetery. I did a service there once. It is smaller than the chancel. What a rough crowd of survivalists this first congregation must have been. So too in bustling, rowdy Corinth. Paul set out to form a community of Jesus followers, and Paul was smart. Corinth was on the coast, a major thoroughfare for the commerce arriving on ships and passing through Greece to other destinations. It was full of cultures and ideas, foods and peoples, bars and brothels. Corinth flourished as a seaport city-state for over 800 years before Jesus was born. In the first century, it was the foremost commercial center in southern Greece. So Corinth was a major crossroads for the ideas and traffic of the world, and therefore a strategic city to plant the Christian message. Paul was an inspired genius who purposefully preached of the resurrected, living Jesus. The Jesus who could fill you with peace and power to live the way of love. Paul's vision was to plant seeds of faith. Help that faith grow, then let it spread. And that fledgling group was only about 50 people. And those 50 people spread out, and here we are. Each of us hearing the power of love of Jesus to be transformed and used as witnesses too. Yet, in this bustling city of Corinth, there were not instant conversions or overnight successes. Thus, Paul kept writing letters to repeat and guide, to fix misunderstanding, and to inspire with hope and love. We do not experience instant conversion or transformation either. It takes time for old habits to change. It takes time to embrace each day as opportunity and grace in God's power. So we come to church and gather like the Corinthians did. We gather and we recognize like they did. We can be impatient and unkind. We can struggle with envy and arrogance. Sometimes we can be rude and want things to be our way or the highway. And we can succumb to irritability and resentment. Paul saw this and experienced himself these human struggles and wrote this letter. love never ends. Love is everything. Nothing matters but how we love. And why is saying three words, I love you, such a source of inner joy and life? So I share this simple story. Barney and Beatrice lived on a farm in Iowa. Beatrice was living on a starvation diet of no affection from Barney. Barney never gave her any signs of love, and Beatrice's need to be appreciated was unfulfilled. At her wit's end, Beatrice blurted out and one day said, Barney, why don't you ever tell me that you love me? Barney paused and stoically responded, Beatrice, when we were married, I told you that I loved you. And if I ever change my mind, I will let you know. Actions speak louder than words, but words matter. The neighbors of Jesus in Nazareth in this gospel scene did not treat Jesus with love. But it sounds like Jesus did not treat those listening to him with love either. Jesus launches into quoting passages in the Hebrew scriptures that were controversial, and they wanted to throw him over a cliff. Jesus was practicing tough love and used biblical references in that moment. And those gathered around him were familiar with these Hebrew passages. Jesus reminded them that God was inclusive, and God used outsiders as models of faith in Israelite history. One of Jesus' examples was the widow of Sidon, who gave what she had to receive a blessing from God. And this reference did not go over well. It reminded them that God brought outsiders into their inner circle. Jesus was demonstrating tough love, inclusive love. The love of Jesus embraced the least, the lowest, the stranger, the immigrant, the Gentile, those outside of prescribed roles and expectations. But how do we do what Jesus did? How do we get the courage to wonder, what would Jesus do? What would love do? Well, we slowly come to live the answer. It begins with acknowledging and receiving the power of God's love. Remember the first reading. Jeremiah was wrapped in God's love. Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. And before you were born, I consecrated you. The basis of our love is God loves us first. Even before we took a breath, God knew us, God loved us, and God consecrates us in every moment. And Jesus offers his life as a way of love. So they say, actions speak louder than words. But words, or the lack of them, affect us. Therefore, I say to each of you, I love you. Doesn't that shift the air? Now, as Jesus would say, go and do the same. Amen.